GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast, looking ahead to the All-Ireland football final with Peter Canavan and Eamon Fitzmaurice with myself and Rory. And Peter, we were just saying off air, if it can be anything like the hurling final, then we're in for a cracker. I think hurling has probably served up one of the greatest All-Ireland football finals of all time. I think we have the potential to have a really interesting football final, not just because the novelty of the pairings, but I think because of the football that these teams have played during the year. I don't know if it's going to live up to what the hurling gave us, but I definitely think people are going to be in for a treat this weekend.
Well, I think we need to temper our expectations. I don't think you could have another hurling final as good as that one, never mind football. Mm. I just thought it was absolutely breathtaking from start to finish. Brilliant action and so many talking points and so many highlights that you'll be talking for the rest of your life about. That's how good it was.
Oh, we won't, Peter. Don't worry. We won't be talking.
Yeah, whether you like it or not. And you were hoping, well, from my point of view anyway, I was hoping that it would have been a draw because you just wanted to taste more of that again in the form of a replay. So, don't be expecting the same from the football. I'm anticipating a really good game. And I think it's a novel pairing, first of all. And in fairness to both sets of supporters for the semi-finals, what energy, enthusiasm and colour did they bring before, during and after the game, you know, on the pitch for both semi-finals. So I think that will add to the sense of occasion and to the atmosphere. And it will bring out the best in the players. So, yes, brilliant encounters. It's going to be a good All-Ireland final, in my opinion. But let's not compare it to the hurling final.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Listen, that's fair. I do think, though, Eamon, because these teams, what they have given us when they have played each other, there's been loads of drama. We've had penalty shootouts. There have been draws. There have been one-point games. I think it's because of that factor that you sense that it could be that kind of a close affair again on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Jackie. They're very evenly matched. And looking back over the games over the last couple of years, if they're to give us a repeat of the 2022 game rather than any of the games in between, we'd be happy enough, because the other games have been tactical enough. The two games in Sligo, I remember being up at the league game in Armagh during the 23 season, and they were fair arm wrestles, now those games. But I mean, that game in 2022, that was an incredible game of football. The drama, the goals. I know everyone was giving out about the row at the time, but it kind of contributed to the entertainment. And then I'd say it was probably the first big game as well that had been decided on penalties.
It was.
So there was the whole drama around that and the significance of that and the colour that both sets of supporters are going to bring to the weekend and everything. So yeah, look, there's no point trying to compare it to last Sunday. It's not going to be like that, but hopefully we'll get an even battle that will be very enjoyable. And both teams are going very well. They're showing great form lines. So if both teams kind of give the best version of themselves, it should be a good game for sure.
Yeah. It's trying to do that in an All-Ireland final, Rory, isn't it? You know, it's not a given, because I think both of these teams will appreciate, particularly for Armagh, getting to an All-Ireland final is such a joy to be celebrated in itself. But having a manager like Kieran McGeaney, you just know that the preparation, everything that will have gone into this, it's not about getting to an All-Ireland final. It's trying to do exactly what Eamon has said, that making sure that on the day you actually get it right.
That's going to be, and that will be a big challenge for the Armagh management, Kieran, and the players. I think a bigger challenge potentially than Galway. I mean, Galway have the experience of 2 years ago. They've been in and around big games and semi-finals and finals now for a couple of years. They're probably a slightly more mature team, slightly more experienced team. And losing an All-Ireland final, I think that gives you a small bit of an edge maybe in terms of handling the occasion, knowing what's ahead of you. And You know, look, I suppose if you were looking for small margins and small little inches, but look, I don't know. I think I was listening to a fantastic interview with Kieran and Peter, which obviously will go out as part of the programme on Sunday. And from what I can gather, Armagh has gone bananas and rightly so. And he seemed to kind of say, look, great, embrace it. And I think that's a very mature way to look at, because you might not be in an All-Ireland final again. This management team may not be there. This playing bunch may not be there. So to sort of embrace it and take it on and ride that wave of emotion like Armagh generally tend to do, we know they're going to bring an incredible support once again. And I suppose it's just about trying to get the maximum out of themselves, then play the game, not the occasion, all the usual cliches. But yeah, in terms of the contest itself, you spoke earlier about, you know, the not much between it. I could easily see this one go on the extra time as well. I mean, what is there? Like the last three big championship meetings, a point either way, and we had extra time in that match that Eamon mentioned. It is going to be extremely tight. And I think it will be a good game. I mean, I know people might have a certain level of trepidation around, maybe teams might set up quite cagely at the beginning of the game and certainly trying not to lose the match in the first 10 or 15 minutes and feel their way into it. But the game will evolve quite naturally, I think, over. And I'd expect, given the quality of the forwards on show for both teams, that we'll get a really, really good contest.
Yeah, I hope so. Peter, just on that interview, you sat down with Kieran McGeaney. I'm laughing at Rory saying, you know, that he's embracing the chaos and all that. I'm just thinking Kieran McGeaney as a player, I'm not sure would have loved the fanfare of all this. So Kieran McGeaney as a manager has obviously matured somewhat. How did you find him and how was the sit down and the chat this week?
Well, he was in brilliant form. Jackie, and he is embracing it, and I've seen a few of the interviews that he's managed to do, and he's very composed. But the first thing he did do, I don't know if it's caught on camera or not, was to give me a dig about a rabbit punch that he received in the 2005 semi-final many years ago. Is that so? He can still, and for some reason he thought it was me, but he can still remember things like that there. But
it was a good chance it was.
Thanks, Eamon. Thanks for that input. I thought he was in brilliant form. Jackie, he is going to relish this occasion because he has been there long enough with them and, you know, struggled in Ulster Championships for the first 5 years. You know, they didn't win a game. So he's had a lot to listen to from within and outside his own county. And this is the position that he's been dreaming of for a long, long time. And I think he's very much taking it on board. He has a few big decisions to make regarding his starting 15, because in the previous games, we all know about the impact of their bench, and it's made a massive difference and it's got them over the line. But I would be wondering, is he seriously thinking about starting Stephen Campbell? Because how can you leave somebody of his quality on the sideline? He's taken a gamble by hoping that Armagh is going to still be in the game in the second half. If Galway get off to a real good start and get a real big lead up, you know, he's going to have to bring him on sooner than expected. But look, he's relishing the occasion, put it like that there, and I gather from him that there's a great sense of confidence about him. We know that he's a steely character and he'll get the best out of these boys, but I feel himself that he knows that Armagh's in a very good position.
Can I ask Eamon you about that Campbell decision, right? Because there's obviously, you play your cards early and you go for it, or you do as Peter says and you try to presume we're going to be in the game and then I'm going to play my card a little bit later. Can you talk me through the decision making as a manager, as what Kieran might be thinking? What's the pros or cons of doing that?
Yeah, do you know what? One of the pros, I get what Peter is saying, that, you know, by starting him, you could get a great start in the game. But It's actually a very hard role to play for a player in terms of impacting the whole time. Some players can do it, some players aren't so good at it. And it takes a bit of, it takes experience, it takes learning, it takes accepting the role. And Stephen Campbell really has embraced the role this year. Of course he wants to be starting, and he could start. He's good enough to start, there's no doubt about it. But I'll be surprised if he does. I think Kieran McGeaney, you know, feels he probably has a template that has been working. And look, if you go back to that great Dublin team, they had the likes of Kevin McManaman. They had different fellas on different days, because they were even had the luxury of bringing on the likes of Dear McConnelly, Michael Darren McCauley, players like that at times. But Kevin McManaman was a specialist. He was brilliant at it. Similarly for us, Darren O'Sullivan was absolutely outstanding in that role. He hated it. He wanted to be starting. But again, he was very good at it, and having that kind of, I think, pace and understanding of not forcing it is part of the role. So the fact he is, I think he's got maybe 110 in the championship, Stephen Campbell coming off the bench. He's, you know, it's a serious weapon to have. And that thing about finishing with your strongest team. So unless the he point, decides to do a Peter Canavan on it and start him and take him off and bring him on again. But
Eamon, the only thing is that that's okay if Armagh only have one or two impact players coming off the bench. But now they have three or four. So I think he could get away with possibly starting them, knowing that Ross McQuillan, Jarley Ogue, Oisin O'Neill has been superb in every time he's come on to the park. So Jason Duffy, Aidan Nugent. So it's not that he doesn't have other quality players to do that. And that's why maybe he could be thinking of actually starting Campbell.
Yeah, fair point. Who's the man to lose out then, Peter?
No, we'll not go down there. We'll not go down there.
That's the thing, though. I think, Eamon, it's trying to... I think there's probably an argument there that Armagh have a better squad for those reasons that you're outlining. I guess it's just how to use them and how to ensure that you are in the game, because football at the moment, you know, I mean, how many people say you play KG for 60 minutes and then you go and rattle it for 10 minutes and that's where the game is. And if you are looking at it that way, is there a case to be made that Armagh are stronger in that regard in that final 10 because of those reasons that you guys have just outlined and that set of players?
Yeah, they have a ferocious bench. Look, there's no doubt about it, Jackie, but so have Galway. Galway have a very, you know, that was one of the things that was levelled at them 2 years ago against Kerry, that they didn't have the bench going down the stretch. And I remember it was something that we mentioned much earlier on in the year, that Padraig Joyce was being forced. No, he had anyway. They had last year, but this year in particular, because of the level and nature of their injuries, they were forced to develop a seriously deep squad. So, you know, they have a lot of quality coming in off the bench as well. You know, the likes of the Johnny Heaneys of the world, Tam O'Callaghan,
John Daly.
You know, they mightn't be at the same level in terms of impactful, but at the same time, they're very strong. They're very experienced. So, yeah, I think both squads are seriously strong. This is the thing. They're so evenly matched on both sides that it's going to make for a great battle. But I think for, as Peter outlined there, the strength of the Armagh bench, the key for them and as a management team will be actually using those weapons at the right time, and appropriately, because it's not like that they have a set five or six that can come on. They have seven or eight players. Like a fella that had seen no game time over the last couple of weeks has been Greg McCabe, who was seriously important player for them, you know, earlier on in the season. So it's how they play those cards, when they play those cards. And as Peter said there, if they decide to play one of their trump cards early in the game to really go after it early, it'll be interesting. So I'm sure both sides will have a surprise or two up their sleeves. Obviously, the complete wild card from an Armagh perspective is if Eden Rafferty came into the mix somewhere along the line. But you know, if it was a particular type of a game late on or something and they wanted to go at a set defence. But they, in fairness to Blaine Hughes, he's been absolutely outstanding. And I doubt there'd be a change there, but just it would be some kind of a wild card situation very late on in the game.
Ethan's probably Ethan's probably too busy winning road bowling competitions down in West Cork.
Exactly.
I wonder, Rory, does it help or does it make it more intriguing the fact that the two managers do know each other so well? And they probably, in a way, know how each other think. You know, they're friends for a very long time. They're obviously college teammates. Football played an awful lot of it with each other. They're very close off the field. You know, even trying to sort of outthink each other in a way, I just wonder, does it add to the intrigue of it all a small bit too?
I think it'll be very small things that will ultimately decide it. I mean, they know each other so well. They've met now quite a bit over the last number of years in league and championship. So I think all of those little kind of subplots are fantastic as well to add into the mix. I think for both managers, look, they've both won All-Irelands as players. I think that will be a calming influence within the dressing room itself. I think it's an important factor in terms of handling the day and handling the occasion. There isn't a huge difference, I suppose, really, in terms of All-Ireland final day. I mean, you get your suits and there is issues with tickets, and I'm sure that's an acute problem in both counties, but they'll be well versed on all of that. And then the only major difference really is you have to meet the president, shake his hand, and away you go. So look, I suppose it's just really who kind of manages that a little bit better. The anticipation, the excitement, I think will probably be at fever pitch in Armagh, but they generally tend to relish that. I think Galway will come in slightly, I would imagine, with a more colder, more calculated look. And they know that, you know, I would probably see, if you look at the age profile, and I know we should probably start drifting onto Galway anyway, but if you look at the age profile of Galway, but I think if you also look at the injury profile, when you see so many of their players picking up so many consistent niggles, you know, they're not all going to clear up, you know, like all those injuries are not going to all of a sudden vanish for players that are on the wrong side of 30. I would see this Galway team, this is their chance. This is their chance. And, you know, I think Sunday, whatever about all the talk about injuries, whatever about all the talk about absentees, whatever about all the talk of going back to 2001 and all the hype and all of that, I think Joyce will know, and I think he'll be impressing it upon his players. We can't let this one slip.
Do you know, the thing is, though, Peter, in fairness to Pádraig Joyce, he has never used that as an excuse. He's never been saying, oh, but should we have this? We have this. We have this. Credit to him, actually, in the league is the reason why he has such a strong bench now, because he's used so many different players over the course of the league and the championship. So whether it's by design or whether it is because of that injury profile or the age profile, as Rory has raised there, I think he has found a formula that works. And maybe this is their chance and their one and only chance, but I think he'll feel, I've built a depth of a squad here over the course of a season and we are ready to have a right crack at this.
Yeah, 100%. He has got on with his job and never once offered excuses. And he wasn't afraid to make big decisions and drop players when needed either in order to get a response. And he's managed to do that. So the way that he has handled this side this year in particular has been very impressive. But the point you made earlier, Jackie, about the strong friendship between the two managers, yes, there's a very healthy respect there, but I don't think that's filtered down to their players, because there is an edge between these two sides. Yeah. And a couple of years ago, they had a right, you know, ding dust at you know, after the final whistle. It was unsavoury. There was an aftermath to that. And this year's game up in Sligo, after the final whistle, the cameras mightn't have got it, but there was a few players getting stuck into one another after it as well. So that adds to it. There's no love lost between the two sides. And hopefully that'll add to the sense of occasion maybe too.
I think that's probably part of it, Peter. That what adds to it, because people know there is a bit of spice between these teams. And that generally happens when there's very little between them.
Yeah, and go back to our own day with throwing Armagh, there was an edge to those games. The crowd could sense it, the players could feel it. And it certainly does. It adds to the game. But look, we have quality players on both sets, and the boys have mentioned about the subs on both teams as well. So we'll want the physicality. I think Sean Horson will. You think he will let it go? That's the way he tries to referee the game. He will be in charge and he'll keep control. And I think, despite the fact he's an Ulster man, and some people were raising their eyebrows maybe at Sean getting this job because of the thrown Armagh connection, but the
don't mention like we had Eamon had loads of issues in the past there, Peter, with a certain Meath man being appointed to Dublin Kerry role. So don't mention the war.
Yeah, well, Eamon's always one to give out about the referees. It's a strange one in that I was thinking if there had been a Mayo referee appointed, how would it have went down?
It would only be an issue if he was actually living in Armagh, Peter. That's a
and a member of a club there, maybe. You know? But Jackie, it is a very fair point. I mean, if you look at both semi-finals, the level of physical engagement and sort of combative nature of the Kerry Armagh game versus the Galway Donegal, and the interpretation, I wouldn't necessarily say the interpretation of two referees. It was just the way the style of game that developed between, in they were very, very different. There was a hell of a lot more. There was a lot more physical contact in Kerry Armagh, a lot more, and it made for a fantastic game. And obviously, the aforementioned David Goff, he has a tendency, and referees generally, as you go further up the food chain and you get into All-Ireland finals, they don't want to be the centre of attention. So they have a tendency to let things flow and let things go. Is that a euphemism for ignoring the rules? Potentially. But I think from a Galway perspective, if they think they're going to go into this All-Ireland final and have the kind of terms of engagement that existed against Donegal, they would be very much mistaken, in my view. Armagh will be getting hands on, and I would anticipate Galway will need to be prepared for that.
Yeah. If you're in their position, Eamon, what do you do? Because I think we know that they probably want a free flowing game of football, a fast running game, and a bit of that, but they know that they're going to get a dogfight on Sunday. So, how are you preparing yourself for that if you're sitting in their shoe?
I think, to be fair to Galway, they're able to play it whatever way you want now, Jackie. They're very adaptable. I mean, Joyce has an incredible record against Ulster opposition. So, they seem to like those kind of games. They're a huge physical team themselves. They've developed, as we mentioned, that kind of robust squad. So I think even I saw a headline this morning. I didn't have a chance to read stuff yet, but he was mentioning that there was a kind of a perception. Padraig Joyce himself was mentioning that there was a perception that once upon a time, this Galway group had a soft centre, and he said that's definitely not the case anymore. So I don't think they'll fear that side of it, but it's a valid point from Rory. There were two very different games in the semi-finals, a very physical encounter on the Saturday night, and the nature of the game meant it was a bit more standoffish on Sunday, whereas the final will not be standoffish. It will be real, in your face and physical stuff, and both teams are comfortable going long with kickouts at different times. Both teams like to press up at times. The fact that Conor Gleeson conceded that crucial goal in a point above in Sligo, will Galway, they like going long anyway, will they be even more inclined to go long? And if they are, there'll be some battleground out there in the middle because of the big men on both sides and the breaking ball and everything. So there could be aspects of the game, while it will be very tactical, there could be aspects of it that will be a bit throwback and a bit old school as well, which would be great for the neutrals. It would lend to the entertainment.
Mm. Peter, would you have any concerns about Galway's marquee players, the likes of Comer, Walsh, still not maybe potentially 100% fit? Sean Kelly, we don't really know what the situation is. Would you be concerned going into an All-Ireland final about them?
Yeah, there's a slight concern there. But I think that's, ironically, it's the one aspect that Padraig Joyce might be the most happy about, is that they've got this far without their marquee players playing to their true potential. That there's other players who stepped up from time to time. Rob Finnerty has come up with big scores. Killian McDade, always good for a point or two. Same with Matty Tierney. Their half back line, very forceful, very strong coming forward. Dylan McHugh has past two or three games, you know, has been contender for man of the match and always chipping in. So they have, they're getting a good spread of scores. I think Partick Joyce will be looking at this, that this is an opportunity for Comer, for Walsh to step up. He'll be referencing Tony Kelly's performance last week, where up until that point, he hadn't played anywhere near his true potential, but he came good on the big day. Go back 2 years ago when Shane Walsh wasn't setting the world alight. He had a remarkable All-Ireland final, just overshadowed slightly. Some people would say it wasn't overshadowed, but David Clifford was superb that day, but Shane Walsh really stood up when he was most needed. So, yeah, it may be a slight concern, but I would have no doubt that Joyce would have full belief that both Comer and Walsh will deliver on the big day.
Peter is right. They've got this far. Sorry, Eamon, go ahead.
No, sorry, Jackie. I agree with Peter, and I watched back the Donegal Galway game earlier on in the week. And I think Comer in particular is very, very close to exploding. I know he had a kind of a half a frustrating game, but he was very, very close to having actually a very good game. He just still looked a small bit rusty. He was blowing hard at times just from the lack of game time. But I could see him having a huge game on Sunday. I think he's very, very close to getting back to where he can be. And he has a record as well, no more than Shane Welch, as Peter mentioned there, where he can pull these games out of nowhere. He was the Connacht final. He was absolutely exceptional. And he'd very little football under his belt at that stage. So, I think keep an eye on Comer. He could have a big one on the way.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a game changer, Rory, isn't he? If he's on his day, that's a completely different Galway side.
Yeah, I've telling you the stories before, but when he first came onto my radar in that under 21 final all those years ago in the Gaelic grounds, and he just tore Cork to shreds, almost single handedly won that All Ireland, and you're just looking at him, you're going, wow, you know, and here we are. I don't know, it's 11 years later, and you know, I think this. I think it's Eamon's right, and Peter. Like this could be his time. He didn't play in that round robin game against Armagh. He was obviously carrying a bit of a knock. It was very noticeable the last day against Donegal. Every time he got the ball, like there was one very interesting shot. It was like, do you remember that photograph of Maradona against Belgium in the 1986 World Cup, where there's like four lads chasing Maradona? And like the camera cut, and there's like four Donegal lads all running after Comer. And I think even if he, like, I wouldn't expect, I think Kerr McGeaney and Armagh would probably back their defenders in a more one-on-one situation. And there might be a bit of collective defending too. But even if it's the case for Comer on Sunday that he does attract that much heat and he steers so much traffic away, that's going to, like, because they've so many different other weapons in their forward line. I think that could make a huge game changer in and of itself. He may not necessarily impact on the scoreboard, but it'll be the heat he draws that will ultimately create space and create openings and create opportunities for the likes of the Finnertys and Matthew Tierneys. And I think they probably need to, you know, look, goals, I think, are going to be massive. I think whoever, like, we saw the goal that Galway scored in the semi-final. It's probably a bit of a fluke. They haven't really been scoring a huge amount of goals. I think if they could maybe stick one or maybe two, I think that'll go a long way. But yeah, it's just so hard to call. I think the atmosphere, the novelty around this All-Ireland final is fantastic, I think, in many ways. And I'm sure, look, it's a conversation for another day. I think Armagh have saved the football championship in many ways, with just the story that they have been. And look, I think if they get the fairy tale ending on Sunday, to have one of the best presidents, by the way, we have had in I don't know how long, you know, to have him stood up there and hand the cup over to an, like, it would make for such a fairy tale dream ending. But Jackie, as you and I both know, having experienced Croke Park last Sunday, fairy tales don't come true, unfortunately. And you know, look, it'll just be one to really savour. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, let's finish off then, lads, on who you think is going to win this and why. Because, Eamon, there's a case to be made for both teams. I think that's what makes this so intriguing. Everyone I talk to has a different opinion on this. It feels 50-50. And isn't it lovely to be able to go into an All-Ireland final where that is the discussion around it, that people have no idea who's going to win. If you'd have told people at the start of the year that this would have been the All-Ireland final matchup, people would have said, just don't see it happening. And that's what makes this so intriguing. So many subplots, so many things can happen on Sunday. But who do you think is going to win this?
Yeah, Padraig Joyce was the only one who saw us when he sent McGeaney this famous text, Jackie.
I can't wait till they reveal what they actually said now, because both of them are being so cagey about it. It's fantastic.
And McGeaney said that there was a few more predictions thrown in inside in the middle of it that were all correct as well. So Joyce is a bit of a mystic mag at the moment. I genuinely, and it's not sitting on the fence, and it's not trying to give one or the other team the kiss of death, because I'm terrible at these predictions. I think it's going to be a draw. I think it's going to be a draw after extra time. And I think we'll have another day out.
Stop. I have to go to the Olympics. Will you stop? I'm not coming back.
You have to come back, Jackie. You have to come back. You're going to have to come back. Is it the 10th or 11th of August?
I think.
Yeah. So, the 10th. Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Look, like Rory said before, Galway do have the experience of 2 years ago. They've progressed their squad since then. They have the experience. Their whole... as well as the players, the management of that experience, all of the logistics that goes with it, the county boards, their analysis guys, everything that goes with an All-Ireland, they've been there, they've been there, done that. And I'm sure they learned plenty of lessons 2 years ago around the game, around the preparations in the game itself. For Armagh, then you have the freshness and the momentum. They're two brilliant managers with two brilliant management teams, huge squads, benches that match each other. The games over the last couple of years tell us there's nothing between them. So I do genuinely. And, you know, if I'm saying then, okay, if you have to pick one, I lean towards Galway 1 minute because I say, oh, they've been there, done that and blah, blah, blah. And like Rory said, for some of them, it's kind of probably going to be their chance. And then I lean back towards Armagh. I'm saying, oh, the way that they've performed, especially against Kerry in the semi-final, there's almost a feel of destiny about it. And with Jarlett Burns as the president, that he has that kind of feel of destiny about him as well. But I'm going to go for the draw. I think it'll be a draw.
Yeah. I tell you, Peter, he's not going to be the only one who thinks that this weekend.
What, sitting on the fence, you mean?
Yeah.
look, same as that, I do believe it's going to be very tense. We haven't really spoke about, for all the Galway marquee players and all, how good their defence has been. Mm. And they've only conceded one goal, I think.
Yeah.
And who scored it? Armagh.
Yeah, Armagh.
But
it's funny.
For all the few weekends ago with the semi-finals and the Tailteann Cup, defences are so adept now and well set up, and it's hard to penetrate them, it's hard to get goals. But so many goals have come from the big high ball in to the edge of the square. And a couple of years ago, Armagh got 3 goals against Galway by big high balls that were put into the square. So considering they've got 2 very small cornerbacks, it could be an option at some stage, be it Oisin O'Neill to go in with Mornin, Rian O'Neill to go in there at some stage. And if Armagh's going to get to hit the net, it may be as a result of a long ball. But from my perspective as to who's going to win it, Jackie, all the logic would point towards a Galway victory, in that few points that Rory had made earlier, they've been there 2 years ago. They know how to deal with the razzmatazz, the experience of playing in an All-Ireland final in itself is invaluable. If you go through the various lines in the pitch and compare Armagh's full-back line to Galway's full-back, do the same at half, do the same at midfield, I find myself saying, well, Galway have a better full-back line, Galway have a better half-back line, half-forward, so on. There's so many advantages on paper, to me, that should be pointing towards a Galway victory. But unlike Rory, I do believe in fairy tales. There's something about Armagh this year, and that and even earlier on this year, a lot of commentators said that the best game Galway played was in Sligo. The football, the quality of the football they played that day against Armagh was the best of the year. But they still didn't win it. There's something that tells me that the vibe in Armagh, the Kieran McGeaney factor, the Jarlath Burns factor, that it's going to be their year. So despite I'll go against what my head would say, and I'd be expecting Armagh to finish strong.
I tell you, we've seen it all now, Rory. Tyrone fella saying it'd be a fairy tale for Armagh to win in All Ireland.
Oh, God, it'd be good for them, Jackie. They haven't won it for a while. They haven't been there for a while.
It would be a fairy tale ending. Like, it's just it would just be a wave of orange emotion. I think it would be a fantastic thing for football. And I think, you know, people would be genuinely, like an awful lot of people would be genuinely happy for them. I think, look, the way Jarlath Burns, and I know, what does the president have to do with it? Well, he has a lot to do with it. He has a lot to do with it, because I think, in my view, in a much more rounded sense, I think the association has been a little bit rudderless over the last 8 to 10 years. And I think to see somebody with his vision and his strength of leadership in there at the helm now, I think gives hope. And it gives a sense of direction and a sense of purpose to an awful lot of people that are at grassroots level. And I think people would be genuinely happy for him. But I don't believe in fairy tales, unfortunately. And maybe it's the cruelty of what happened last Sunday that still rankles around, Jackie. I don't know. I do agree with Eamon. I'm going to go for extra time and Galway to just have that little bit more in extra time just to get over the line. But I think it'll be an absolutely thrilling contest. And, you know, look, I'm really looking forward to it. And you'd wish both teams well.
Ah, yeah. Look, I hope it's going to be an absolute cracker. I hope it is not a draw, because if I have to come back from Paris to come back to do an All-Ireland final, yes, it would be thrilling, but it would also be more chaotic this summer. But it has been an absolute dream, a brilliant championship, and we are so looking forward to Sunday. Peter, Eamon, thanks a million for being with us. And for everyone who listens, don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll talk to you on Monday after hopefully another cracking All-Ireland final.
There's the whistle, it's over.